welcome to a new episode of 49ers Talk on NBCSportsBayArea.com. Introducing your hosts, 49ers insider Matt Maiocco and 49ers host Laura Britt.
This is 49ers Talk, brought to you by Big O Tires. I'm coming at you from Indianapolis, side of the NFL Scouting Combine. And there was news this week that I don't think anybody was really expecting to hear about Jimmy Garoppolo. We knew the thumb injury was significant and that it might require surgery. He doesn't need surgery on the thumb, but he does need surgery on his shoulder, and that requires a four-month rehab. So who knows what's going to be going on this offseason as the 49ers look to trade Jimmy Garoppolo to a team, and there are a lot of teams that need a quarterback.
I'm still out on vacation. I checked my Twitter the other day. I read it three times. Did I read that right? It said shoulder, not thumb, and Jimmy Garoppolo is having surgery. What's happening? So I kind of had to get myself together and figure out, sort it all out. But that was really surprising to me. All of the talk was around potential surgery on his thumb, and with looking at the past with Drew Brees and Matthew Stafford and other guys that have had the thumb injury similar to him, that's what you would expect. But I think it also goes to show how much Jimmy Garoppolo was battling and what all he was battling through at the end of the season with these injuries and how tough he really is to put on the performances that he was able to throughout the playoffs, dealing with a shoulder injury that we now know needs surgery and a thumb injury that I guess doesn't, but potentially could, or at this point, I guess not. I don't know. It sounds like that's out the window.
Right. So apparently with the thumb injury, John Lynch said that it was always kind of thought that he wouldn't need the surgery. And so that is fine. It's kind of healed on its own. And then the shoulder, now John Lynch calls it, he referred to it kind of as a minor surgery. And apparently the actual surgery is, you know, in the relative terms here, minor. And the reason it's described as like that is because it's not like a rotator cuff or something where you have the surgery and then you see how the rehab goes, and you know, maybe he comes back healthy, maybe not. You know, there's some degree there of variance. With this, it's a capsule in the back of his shoulder, and once it's, you know, repaired or whatever they do with it, the likelihood that he will just resume and be what he was before is extremely high. And so that's why it's kind of termed as a minor thing. The problem is that it's going to take 4 months for it to heal and get back to the point where he can start throwing footballs. And so now we're talking about late June, early July. And the reason this came out of nowhere is because he just decided on Tuesday that this was the path to take after consulting with doctors. So it has to affect his trade status in some way, but I don't know that I don't think it affects what the ultimate outcome is going to be. I think he's still going to get traded. And then there's, you know, the talk of he has a $7.5 million injury guarantee, which is completely irrelevant, because he's going to make more than $7.5 million this season. So he's going to make more than $7.5 million, which means the 49ers won't have to pay him, you know, anything, assuming the trade happens. So
I want to go back to the surgery and the description there for a second that you gave. I just want to clarify that that's probably exactly what the doctors told him. We're going to go in there and we're going to do whatever we're going to do, and then it'll be better. I'm sure that's all the detail that they gave him when they were describing it to him.
What I'm doing is I'm giving you the shoulder surgery for dummies version of what
they go in there. They do some stuff.
Yeah. They do then, whatever.
And
they
then
do.
You're better.
Yeah. I mean, I frankly don't even know what a capsule is. I probably should have Googled it, gone to WebMD and given you something.
I didn't know we had capsules.
I didn't know either. I mean,
here we are.
But
this podcast is now called Medical Talk.
Yes. For
which no one would listen to.
It's going to be called Medical Talk, not for dummies, but with dummies. You and me.
Hey, we're getting somewhere. I bet people would listen to that.
So anyway, the bottom line is he should be fine. The bottom line is that teams are still going to want him, and John Lynch says that there is interested teams. But I'm just wondering about the timeline. You know, in the past, I'd thought about, you know, by March 16th, we'll know where he's going. That's the start of the new league year. And I kind of still feel that, I guess. I don't know, I guess. But now there, it just becomes a lot more cloudy. If you're asking me, and you haven't, but if you were to ask me if I think that this impacts anything with the 49ers, you know, is Jimmy Garoppolo going to stay with the team? No. Is somebody other than Trey Lance going to be the starting quarterback for the 49ers? No. I think it's all Trey Lance. And by the way, we're going to talk to John Lynch at the NFL Scouting Combine coming up just a little bit later. But one of the interesting things of the week, there's a lot of news in Indianapolis. There often is this time of year. But I will go ahead and say that I was wrong again, because I was kind of feeling like if Tom Brady, and there's been no indication Tom Brady wants to play in 2022, but I was under kind of the belief that if Tom Brady wanted to play in 2022 and the 49ers wanted Tom Brady to play for them in 2022, which who knows, maybe, maybe not. But I was under the impression or the belief that that could happen because the Buccaneers would say, you know what, Tom, you've done us a favor by winning us a Super Bowl. We can do you a favor. But Bruce Arians basically said, absolutely not are we going to allow Tom Brady to play for any team other than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He called it bad business. And then somebody asked him, well, what would it take? And he said, 5 number one draft picks. That's what it would take. And I know that the Glazer family, the owners of the Bucks, they're business people. And so when Bruce Arians said it would be bad business, whenever you say that and you know your owners are like business people, he's basically saying absolutely not. And then I think you and I both agreed that it was going to be an absolutely not with whatever Aaron Rodgers wanted.
Yeah, I think that's still the case. So it sounds like it's even more solidified that Trey Lance, if you're still teetering out there and wondering, oh, maybe there's still a sliver of a chance that Tom Brady will come to the 49ers, I think maybe just go ahead and let those dreams die. But I do want to get to the combine for a second, kind of take everybody through what your week's been like so far. You know, what are you doing every day? What's going on behind the scenes at the combine?
So I'm in downtown Indianapolis right now. You can probably hear the sirens in the background. Maybe not, but it looks like there's a, you know, some sort of police activity outside. As I see,
oh boy, that's exciting.
Lights going by. I hope they're not looking for me. I'm tucked
they
away.
Could be.
They could be. It wouldn't be the first time. Trust me.
This would be a very exciting 49ers talk if they are.
That would be. Yeah, it'd be. No longer co-host Laura Brett, host Laura Brett. The prospects are rolling in. And so there's this, the first couple days of the combine, general managers and coaches talk to the media. And in the past, that's always consisted of Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch. Well, this year, Kyle Shanahan and his coaching staff are remaining in Santa Clara. And so what they're basically doing, and part of the reason for this is that there's been such turnover on Kyle Shanahan's coaching staff that he's basically coaching up the coaches right now and what they're looking for, what their systems are, kind of players that they're going to be looking for coming out of this draft. And so the coaches are actually like going through their thing in Santa Clara, learning about the draft prospects from watching film. And then they're actually able to sit in on their Zoom meetings with some of these prospects. So let's just say if they're looking at a running back, it's going to be Anthony Lynn involved with this and asking questions or being a fly on the wall or whatever the case may be. And by the way, Laura, so we can say now Bobby Turner will not be back with the 49ers as running backs coach for this season and this season only. Bobby Turner told the 49ers that He's not retiring, but he's had a couple surgeries. And last year he had a surgery that he felt that was just too rushed as far as the rehab and the physical therapy to get back working. And so he just wants to take his time, do this thing right. And so that's what I was kind of hinting at over the past month. So I've been hearing the rumblings that that was probably going to happen, but I just didn't want to put it out there and be talking about rumors. I prefer to deal in facts and opinions and stuff like that. So Bobby Turner stepping aside, Anthony Lynn will take over the running back chores as far as the coaching. But that's what we're seeing now at this combine. You know, the coaches coming through, the general managers and scouts coming through, the players are arriving and they're doing their medical examinations and all that. And by the end of the week with the on-field workouts and everything else, that's the NFL scouting combine.
Yeah. So you got to talk to John Lynch, which we'll hear that conversation in just a little bit, but I do feel like you, it's almost the start of the new league year. It's not officially, but it feels like that because it's all about looking ahead. And I know you talked to John Lynch about this year's upcoming draft and the focuses of the 49ers on that. And I think you're going to find it interesting, everybody listening, what he has to say about some of the reasonings and the expectations for this year's draft too. So we'll get to that in just a little bit, but it is more turnover. Like you said, with Bobby Turner, I mean, the guy's incredible. Yeah. The Shanahans love him. The players love him. You can see how he's able to develop players. I think the good news is it is on his own terms that he's able to take this time and take a pause. The guy works so, I mean, all these people in the NFL, the coaches, he's everything I've heard from people, the running backs, they say he knows, and a lot of this information was from you too, that he's calling every draft eligible running back. He knows their mom. Yeah. He knows their cousin.
It's
knows amazing. Their favorite food.
Yeah, it is. It is amazing. And John Lynch, he was talking to a group of us like off camera. And I asked, now, is Bobby going to still, you know, have some kind of involvement with the draft? Is he still going to? And before I could finish my sentence or my question, John Lynch said, is he still going to make 442 phone calls to each draft guy? No, he's not going to do that. And then he says, and then he'd also tell us like, well, this guy picked up on the first ring. This guy picked up on this sixth ring. And John was even like, yeah, you know, occasionally we'll be somewhere and they'll see a running back, you know, that they're playing against or whatever. And Bobby Turner will be, oh, there's the guy who never returned my phone call. So,
but that's some of the insight that you're getting with Bobby Turner. That'll be a big, you know, a big hole for the Niners, but good to know that he's hopefully going to be back in the future and hope, wish him all the best just to get healthy and get better.
Yeah, it's such
himself.
A long and storied career. He's 72 years old. And, you know, we remember all the great success that Mike Shanahan had with the running game and finding these under the radar prospects. Heck, you know, Terrell Davis was a sixth round draft pick who basically made the team for the Broncos as a rookie because of a special teams tackle. And then he turns into a Hall of Famer. And the only running backs coach he had in his NFL career, Bobby Turner. And just think of what the 49ers have done here in the five seasons that Kyle Shanahan has been the head coach and Bobby Turner has been the running backs coach. 49ers have had five different leading rushers in five seasons. I'll try to tick them off here. I think I can do this.
You got it.
Carlos Hyde, Matt Breida, Raheem Mostert, Jeff Wilson, and then, of course, Elijah Mitchell, who was a sixth-round draft pick, under-the-radar guy. And, boy, has he really blossomed under Bobby Turner's tutelage.
Ding, 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 ding. You got him. You're much better than the Wheel of Fortune contestant. Did you see this?
I did not see this.
That missed a feather in your cap.
Oh.
Just look it up.
Oh, that's not good.
No, it was very bad. They went a feather in your map, a feather in your lap.
boy.
No feather. Boy. And it was pretty filled out. You guys know what I'm talking about when you're listening. Just look when we get off. Okay, so let's take a break. Matt, you can check out that Wheel of Fortune video that I was talking about. On the other side of this break, we got to hear this discussion with Matt Maiocco and John Lynch.
Did you know that the warranty from a tire manufacturer could be voided if your car is out of alignment? At Big O Tires, we install and maintain every tire we sell and offer critical services like alignments. Here at Big O, everything we do is to protect you and your car. Big O Tires, the team you trust.
So remember when we opened our podcast last week, Laura? Or maybe not last week, but the last podcast we did. This week, yeah. And we talked about how John Lynch had this lucrative offer from Amazon, but he's going to continue to stick with the 49ers. And apparently, you know, it was a pretty lucrative offer, you know, like several times more than what he's making as a 49ers general manager. So anyway, that's how I open up this discussion with John Lynch here from the NFL Scouting Combine. All right, we are back on 49ers Talk, of course, with the general manager of the 49ers, John Lynch. And John, you're right now you're behind a microphone. I thought the 49ers faithful might lose you to behind the microphone.
Yeah, you know, that whole space has been pretty dynamic. And, you know, at some point, some old friends reached out and was humbled by their interest and, you know, kind of put it on hold and did agree to have dinner. I listened, but I knew what I was going to do. And I will say they made it tough. Troy Aikman and these guys, it's unbelievable.
You're talking the compensation and
compensation. Yeah. So, but I've never, never really been driven by that. We all are at some point. And, but more than anything, my commitment to our team, to our organization, to our fans, it's strong and got a lot of belief in this team. And I kind of want to finish the job. So that's why I'm here.
Yeah. I mean, I saw you, I think it was week 18, nearly leap out of the suite onto the field at SoFi Stadium. I see you down there in the locker room, greeting players after wins and losses. I mean, that's who you are, right? The competitor. You want a win and a loss at the end of the day.
Yeah, I am. And that's not to say, I mean, I've got great respect for what the analysts do. You know, heard a lot of people say it's unbelievable they get that to work one day. There's a lot of work if you're going to be good at that that goes into that as well. But yeah, there is, it's what I said when I came back, the scoreboard and just as much as the wins, you don't like the losses, but man, there's something invigorating about we lost. So what now? What, what are we going to do? How are you going to respond? And, that's a tremendous challenge to pull the best out of yourself, to pull the best out of a team. And then the relationships that are forged, because everything about this sport, there's adversity every single day. And when you fight through that, you really grow stronger. And so the connections grow strong. And, I love where we're at as an organization. I love our culture. But I'm determined to find a way to help this organization get that sixth Lombardi.
So we're at the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis. And, I've heard other general managers and coaches talk about the strength of this draft class. And it kind of seems like it lines up pretty well with what you guys might be looking for. You don't have a first round draft pick, but you do have 9 total draft picks. And I keep hearing cornerback, edge rusher, offensive line, wide receiver, that they're going to be very quality players at those spots that you can get in the second, third, fourth, fifth, and maybe even later round.
Yeah, that's what I keep hearing. It's what I keep seeing. More importantly,
you're saying seeing with your own eyes,
with my own eyes, and with with our staff's eyes. It's what I'm hearing from them, not so much the outside, but from within our organization as well. And so there is tremendous alignment. I think I said it up there. The overall depth of this draft as well. For a team that doesn't have their early picks, I think patience will be rewarded. And oftentimes people have the patience, but what makes you not have that is if it's not deep, there's a feeling, hey, we got to move up. I think this draft is extremely deep, and so much to the point that there's not going to be a whole lot of difference between, the middle of round 2 and the middle of round 3.
And was that something you were able to diagnose a year ago? Was this something that maybe contributed to why you guys were so willing to spend the draft capital that you did in order to go to number 3 and ultimately select Trey Lance?
Yeah, there's a that's something we're always asking of our scouting, college scouting department, is to forecast. Okay, we understand what we're starting to hone in on what this draft is, but let's talk about next year's draft. And I think Ethan Waugh has, you know, since he's been involved and as our director, and has done just a tremendous job. Tariq Ahmad has carried that on. Adam Peters, big part of that. But that whole group, all of our college scouts, do a great job of really having a great idea. You obviously don't have the clarity forecasting out, but you do have some early indications on talent, on numbers, and those things. And those come in handy.
So we started off talking about being behind the microphone. Me doing my talking over the past month, I've talked a lot about kind of just the hypotheticals, you know, if Aaron Rodgers were to become available, Tom Brady. Are you guys, and I've stated all along that I think everybody's kind of staying, it's going to be status quo, and I do think that Trey Lance will be your starting quarterback. And you've you've flat out said that you've been impressed by what you saw from Trey Lance. So how do you know, by just watching a guy practice, if it's now time to take that leap? Did you ever talk to Andy Reid about what he saw in practices, what led them to that conclusion? But how have you guys handled that thought process of, is Trey Lance ready to be the starter week one of 2022?
I think the answer is yes. I have had those discussions with a Pete Carroll, with an Andy Reid when I was a broadcaster. It was a great lens. I never knew I'd be doing this, but I had those conversations often. And the answer is, you never know until you know. But you have belief, you have faith, there's indications, there's traits, there's qualities, there's competitive greatness that you see in the brief glimpses that you did see him play. There's practice that really does matter. There's development. There's all those things that go in. And then there's our initial evaluation. We put so much time into Trey. And so knowing what we thought he was, and then meeting him and saying, okay, what is he really? And you feel even stronger about what that is. And so we do have a tremendous amount of faith and belief that, despite the fact that he hasn't played a lot of football, we're going to have an excellent quarterback on our hands for a long time. And, as to what else happens in that whole equation, you know, I don't know. But right now we're really happy with Trey and excited to see his growth from year one to year two.
It seems like with the quarterback trade market, stuff always happens this week in Indy, you know, through the years. And, you know, something is always, almost always, kind of ready to go when the new league year starts. Do you think Jimmy Garoppolo's situation with requiring the surgery on his throwing shoulder, does that impact a date of when there's finality with Jimmy Garoppolo's situation as it pertains to the 49ers and whatever other teams might be interested?
Yeah, I think that's for other teams. But I think that there's obviously avenues open. If we give permission, they can talk to the doctors and they can. So I think it might cause for a little more due diligence. But you're right. A new league year, wanting to set your team. And obviously that's a critical spot. Usually forces action this time of year, and the combine is it's set up just perfectly because we're all here together. And so, you know, those meetings take place. And like I said, we will listen. We also know that we've got a really good quarterback in Jimmy. And so if we have the two of them again and let them go compete, then we're happy to do that as well. And we're capable of doing that with our cap.
Even with, you don't need the $25 million, to do the things that you want to do as far as Laken Tomlinson, DJ Jones, Dre Greenlaw and Azeez Alshire, not to mention Deebo Samuel and Nick Bosa.
There are certainly trade-offs, but we've budgeted for a lot of different things with plan A, with plan B, plan C, and one of those scenarios and, a couple different of those scenarios has included Jimmy. And so, yes, we can do it. It will curtail what we're able to do, the aggressiveness we have in free agency. The bottom line is, whatever that combination is, we want to be a better football team, or give ourselves an opportunity to be a better football team going into next year.
So I mentioned in passing Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady, and I know you cannot speak to them specifically because they're both under contracts to their current teams. But do you guys ever just go through hypotheticals in, like, what if – this scenario unfolds?
Sure. Everyone does that, and usually it's your friends who aren't in the business. Why don't you go do that? Yeah, that'd be awesome. But you know, really what we spend a lot of time talking about is our plan. And, you know, I think a lot of that's already been executed with what we did with Trey, the investment we made. And now it's about realizing that vast potential that we see, both in the, his talent and abilities, and also his kind of horsepower, his mental horsepower for taking on a lot. And then that competitive spirit that he has. So we think there's so much to like, and now he's just got to put it all together. And like I said, I believe despite him not having a ton of action in year one, that there was a tremendous amount of growth, and he's going to be ready.
There are a lot of changes on the coaching staff. Mm-hmm. Did you guys anticipate all of them? Like, people on the outside could look at this and go, is there something going on there at the 49ers? Well, you know, they had a successful season. They're losing all these assistant coaches. Now, some of them, obviously, yeah. Mike McDaniel, right. Becomes a head coach. But what are the fans and us in the media supposed to draw from seeing all the changes of, you know, Richard Hightower, John Embry, Bobby Turner stepping aside for a season, I believe yeah. he said. Mike McDaniel, of course, becomes a head coach. James Betcher, and then Rich Scangarello.
Yeah, that's a lot of names, you know, and we liked our group. So, you know, but you never know. You're always preparing for it, saying, okay, what would we do if this guy left? Where would we go? Kyle traditionally is like to hire from within, but a lot of that pipeline's been taken in previous years. So, you know, the most important thing is you're really excited for guys like Mike when they get that opportunity, and then you get it. We don't know that he's going to get it, but then once he gets it, you know, he wants to take some people with him. And, you know, there's a lot of things that line up. There's communication between he and Kyle. And, you know, we valued our coaching staff a whole lot. A lot of guys got really nice opportunities, so we're happy for them. We wish them well. Other guys, we had tough decisions to move on from, but we did what we thought was best for our organization. And I can promise you, we're really excited about the people who filled those roles. That will be announced, I think, early next week. And a lot of those names are already out there, but I think we've added to our coaching staff. And, you know, our hope, just like everything, is we find a way to get a little bit better. And, you know, that leads to why Kyle made the decision to stay back. They need to do a little more meeting on our scheme, because before you start trying to add people, you better know who we are and know our own personnel. And so that was the decision, because of some of the newness, to stay back and really spend that time in office where they can really focus on that a lot more.
I would assume Anthony Lynn being added is because of Bobby Turner. You knew that yeah. he was to be stepping away, and it's only going to be for one season for Bobby.
Yes, but I mean, I think we would have, you know, the opportunity to add Anthony Lynn to your staff. There's relationships there. Anthony played for Mike, so very familiar with our scheme and our way of doing things. That was a tremendous add. Felt very fortunate to be able to add, you know, a man of his character, a coach with his experience, both playing and coaching and being a head coach. That's invaluable. So, and you know, Anthony played for Bobby. So, I mean, there's tremendous synergy there as well.
So, you guys are having these Zoom meetings with prospects. How many prospects can you meet with?
We're with them in person. We're here, so we're up in a suite in the stadium. But our coaches, for instance, today we did three tight ends. Brian Fleury was on the other end of the Zoom. Leonard Hakerson has been on. Anthony Lynn's been on, because we've done kind of tight ends, running backs.
So they're kind of here. I mean, they're doing yeah. the same things.
Yeah. Just working all day, and then they're like this morning. It was really early. We started at 10, so it was 7 back at home, and Fleury was on as we did our three tight ends that we met with. It's doable. They're able to gain that. And I do think that's probably along with the medical that we aren't all involved with until we get back and kind of get the reports. The interviews are probably the most important thing we do here. So they're getting a feel. It's probably not as good as in person, where you can see some things, you can feel some things, but it's, as you know, we all got pretty proficient at doing those, and it's certainly doable.
Hey, John, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks a lot, Matt.
Kick off your next adventure with a new Toyota and gear up for what's next. New Toyotas are arriving daily, so get out there and explore in a brand new Toyota car, truck, SUV, or hybrid. Get low 2.99% APR financing on 2022 RAV4 and Highlander, including hybrids. Toyota, let's go places.
Offer available through TFS to buyers with premium rated credit. Excludes RAF4 Prime. Offer ends 2/28/22.
We are back on 49ers Talk. And 49ers Talk is brought to you by FitAid. FitAid fuels your body with complete sports recovery using the power of targeted supplements and vitamins. Train hard, recover fast. And John Lynch.
Such a good conversation with John Lynch. There's a lot to unpack there.
There is a lot to unpack there. And, you know, the bottom line, we talked it, you know, about it in the opening. You know, Trey Lance, it's, you don't know until you know. And that's,
you know, I appreciate that honesty because sometimes guys will go out there and say a statement like, oh yeah, we know he's going to be great. You can tell, but John Lynch is like, Dad, you don't really know until you know. You have indications. There are qualities. There's competitive greatness. You've got faith, but you don't know. And that's kind of the essence of the NFL draft in general.
Yeah, and like even, you know, to talk about Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, you know what Jimmy Garoppolo, the pros and the cons with Jimmy Garoppolo, but still you don't know with him because of the injuries, you know, and so injuries are part of this. And, you know, I still think with Garoppolo and the injuries, it's by and large, it's just bad luck. You know, he injures his thumb on, you know, kind of a weird play where he's thrown to the ground. And then because he's protecting his thumb in that game against the Cowboys, that led to the shoulder injury. So, like, there's all these weird things. But, you know, I really think that with Garoppolo, I've said this many times, but I'll just say it again. Garoppolo is not at all a bad quarterback. He's a good quarterback. But he's, you know, he's in the middle range of NFL starting quarterbacks, which is not a bad place to be. I mean, it helped the 49ers get to the Super Bowl 1 year and the NFC Championship game this year, despite his injuries. But when the team invests so much to trade up to number 3, they're not looking for a middle-of-the-road quarterback. You know, they're looking for a superstar. And whether Trey Lance is a superstar or not, it's going to take some time to find out. But what
That's called TBD.
That would be TBD. TBD to be announced, to be determined. It's not going to be announced. It's going to be determined.
It's going to be determined.
And the time is now, right? You don't continue to push the guy that you hope will be a superstar to the background in order to continue to move forward with the guy who's kind of a, you know, an average NFL starting quarterback. And by the way, an NFL average NFL starting quarterback is a really good player.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, the very near the top of, well, obviously that I probably don't need to even say that.
Dive into that. Yeah. But sometimes it's worth saying, I think, because when you look around at 32 teams, you do rank quarterbacks and those rankings are out there, but it's easy to forget the 32nd best quarterback in the NFL is a really good quarterback still, just not to the NFL standard. So I think it is worth saying. And Jimmy Garoppolo is far from, I think, the 32nd best quarterback. He's definitely middle of the pack, but he's going to take you so far. And he might be able to win you a couple games, but he also will lose you a couple games. Yeah. And the 49ers were ready to move on from that.
And I think that, you know, with Garoppolo, if the team around him is a Super Bowl caliber team, they can get to the Super Bowl, right? And I mean, so I think he kind of maximized his time with the 49ers. I think that the Garoppolo era will be looked upon fondly because of what he did as the quarterback of this team. And especially the way he handled the whole situation. So anything else from the John Lynch discussion that kind of popped out at you?
Yeah, you know what? It was really the first thing you guys talked about going back to the Amazon deal. I just think it's impressive for Lynch. You have to put yourself in those shoes. And he kind of laughed and said, they didn't make it easy. And you're like, you mean compensation wise, right? And he's like, yeah. you step back and you go, how committed am I to X, Y, or Z, to whatever I'm doing? And when he said he really wants to finish the job, you lose a game, what do we do now? And he has this incredible opportunity and wanted to hear them out, as he did. And they make a big, great offer. It's Amazon. I think we can all imagine what I think their funds are nearly unlimited. So they're able to offer John Lynch something very competitive. And for him to take a second, say, no, I'm going to stay with the Niners. It's what I was talking about last time on the podcast. I just think it's really impressive. It shows commitment and that, yeah, everybody's got a number at some point that makes sense for your family to do what you need to do. But that he really is committed to this. And you mentioned the scoreboard to him, and that is what drives him in this. And it's totally different when you're on the other side, but so many things make him a great general manager. And a lot of that is back. He mentioned one of his talks, I think it was with maybe Pete Carroll and Bruce Arians, that he brought up when he was a broadcaster, and how those conversations have helped him now as a general manager too. So he's a fascinating guy, and a fascinating guy to have in this role. When the 49ers got him from Fox, I thought it was really interesting. And he's just been, him and Kyle Shanahan are a really great pairing. That's what I've seen so far since they've been together.
Yeah. And it's good. This is I guess every off season in the NFL is a big off season, but this one certainly is, because they have a number of guys who are kind of coming up on new contracts. They're going to have to make some difficult decisions. You know, this is a pretty good draft, as I mentioned, as far as what the 49ers are looking for. And I also thought it was interesting that they looked ahead a year and said,
yes,
hey, we can give up some draft picks early in this upcoming 2022 draft. And they did, in order to get up there to select Trey Lance. They gave up their first round pick and their third round pick, but they still have three other third round picks, and they have a second round pick, 9 picks total. And this draft really sets up well for them, because a lot of those key positions that they'll be looking to fill, they're going to have those opportunities, because those are deep spots in this draft. So that's interesting, one thing. And then another thing, we didn't talk about this in our conversation for this podcast, but me and some of the other writers were around him and spent about 30 minutes talking to him about all things 49ers after he got down off the podium. It was, you know, had been answering questions from the group of reporters, a lot of national reporters here. But one of the things he said, you know, like with DJ Jones, I mean, DJ Jones, you and I, Laura, we kind of debated back and forth who's the biggest 49ers pending free agent. And I think we both agreed that DJ Jones and Laken Tomlinson are pretty similar. He had an interesting thing to say about DJ Jones, and it's something that I've kind of felt, but he worded it pretty funny. He said, if DJ's objective was to stay here with the 49ers, he made it really hard. And what he meant by that was that DJ Jones played so well that 31 other teams are going to notice him when they stack their board for free agency, and a team that needs an interior defensive lineman and a team that has some money to spend might be coming after DJ Jones and make it maybe impossible for the 49ers to keep him.
Yeah. And that's the risk that happens when you got guys in contract years and they play so well. But the 49ers wouldn't have made it to the NFC Championship game had DJ Jones not played at the level that he did. And they've been able to develop guys into roles. So we'll just have to see how it all shakes out. We'll have to see.
Yeah. And they're in decent in a decent spot. If Javon Kinlaw gets healthy and he's feeling better. John Lynch said that he's not feeling any pain in that knee anymore. And he talked about just the vast potential that Javon Kinlaw has. And they're expecting him to be ready for the offseason program, but they are not going to rush it at all. So that was one encouraging injury update. Mike McGlinchey also coming around, looking good, rehabbing that quad tendon injury that he had. And again, I think that healthy Mike McGlinchey in the postseason would have been a big deal for the 49ers. And then two other guys of interest, Raheem Mostert, 49ers have been in contact with his representation. Mm-hmm. Jennifer Lee Chan reported that this week. And so they would like to keep Raheem Mostert. But I also know for a fact that Mike McDaniel is also a big Raheem Mostert fan. So we'll see. I almost kind of think that Mostert's going to be with the Miami Dolphins. And, oh, by the way, did you happen to see the great scene was captured? You talked about what it's like at the NFL scouting combine. At 1 o'clock Indianapolis time, McDaniel was speaking at one podium. And then at 1:15, it was John Lynch at the next one over. And so when Mike McDaniel left his podium, he was kind of standing in the back listening to John Lynch. And Lynch was asked a question about Mike McDaniel. And you could, Kevin Clark posted this great video of McDaniel going, "F yeah, John, thank you," or whatever. It was hysterical.
It's so good. If you haven't seen it, just do a quick scan on Twitter and find the video, because it is really funny. And you can tell that I just love Mike McDaniel. He's so himself. He's so genuinely himself that you just love the guy. He's hard not to like. But that video is, it's kind of like a true capsule of Mike McDaniel.
Not the kind of capsule that will be removed.
No, different kind of capsule.
Shoulder. Okay.
Well, I don't know. In the shoulder, you know, who knows?
You never know. Okay, so then also Jason Verrett, 49ers aren't closing the door on him. They think that, you know, he wants to play. The 49ers are interested, so we'll see what happens there. John Lynch also had some very high praise of Aaron Banks. They thought that he really improved a lot behind the scenes, and he's been working hard. About 8 or 9 guys have been showing up at the facility daily to kind of work out on their own, and he's been one of them. So I think a lot of encouraging signs, but, I mean, let's not sugarcoat this. It's going to be – the 49ers have some difficult decisions to make, and, you know, quarterback isn't the only one. You know, they're going to be – there will be some changes elsewhere on the roster. They can't bring everybody back, so it'll be interesting to see how they do this. And I think they're going to make use of this draft too. You know, with 9 draft picks, they have the ability to move up and maybe not use all those 9 picks, maybe get, you know, move up and to grab a guy or do certain things. You know, their goal, and it kind of sounds ridiculous, but I'll say it anyway, their goal is how many ever draft picks they have, that each of those guys that they draft has a legitimate chance to make the roster, even if everybody is healthy. So that's the goal. Whether it plays out that way or not remains to be seen. I mean, I just kind of look back to the 2020 draft where they took Juwan Jennings in the 7th round. He was on the practice squad. He never made it onto the roster. But then year 2, wow, did he make a big impact at some clutch time. So, you know, it's coming off the season that they had, I think the team's feeling pretty good. You know, the organization's feeling pretty good about a lot of things. You know, certainly a lot of turnover on the coaching staff that we talked about, yeah. But also an opportunity to switch things up. And, you know, just because it's different doesn't mean it has to be worse.
Yeah, and to your point on some updates, John Lynch also gave a little bit of an update on Nick Bosa and Deebo Samuel, just saying that they have been in touch with their representation and that both sides are talking. And so they're hoping, typically, as he said it, that if both sides want something to get done, it can typically get done. So that's in the works. It'll just take some more time.
Yes. And one other thing, the Arizona Cardinals were granted one of those games, the international game. So the Cardinals are going to be the home team in Mexico City. And there's nothing official, and I haven't been told definitively, but my spidey sense is that watch out for the 49ers. 49ers could be going to Mexico City and playing the Arizona Cardinals. And if that's the case, that would be – I think that would be a really good thing for the 49ers, because that would give them – that would take away a true road game and give them basically a neutral site game, where I'm almost positive the 49ers will have a huge following in Mexico City. So that would basically give them, out of a 17-game schedule, 9 games at Levi's Stadium, 7 in road stadiums, and then basically a neutral site game. So from a scheduling standpoint, that would work out very well for the 49ers.
Yeah, I was looking back at that game in 2005. The Cardinals played in Mexico City, and there were over 103,000 people at that game. So you want a good environment. You not only can go down to LA to get a good environment if you're the 49ers, you could also go to Mexico City.
Yeah, and I was there. I was there.
Cardinals and the 49ers.
I was just a young kid, you know, fresh out of high school.
That was my situation.
I had my whole life in front of me. I was just had this spring in my step.
You and I both.
Okay. I think this has pretty much run its course.
It also goes back to that you've been covering the 49ers a really long time.
And with that, throw that one in the time capsule, not the capsule on your shoulder, but okay, this has been 49ers Talk.
We'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to 49ers Talk with Matt Maiocco and Laura Britt. Please rate, review, and subscribe for free on your podcast provider.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.